Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Ladies and gentlemen, to honor the life of WWE Hall of Famer, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, please rise as we toll the bell 10 times.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Ladies and gentlemen, entering the podcast ring at this time, with a combined weight of 860 pounds, are the new tag team champions, the Super Size Guys. First, representing This Week in Geek, and hailing from parts unknown, he is Mike, the Birdman, Dodd.
Somebody stop the damn man!
And his podcasting partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is TFG1 Mike Blanchard. These two podcasting giants have joined forces in the World Podcasting Federation. This is Mayhem Mike's. And now, let's get ready to podcast.
And now,
yes, thank you, TV's Mr. Neal, the announcer guy for Mayhem Mike's. I'm, of course, Mike TFG1 Blanchard. Joining me is Mike the Birdman Dodd. Hello, sir.
I am pissed off.
Okay, but before we get to that, before we let your Canadian rage flag fly, before we get to all that,
fight Dodd, fight. That's all I got to say.
So before we get to that, folks, I want to thank everyone who's been patient with us in these sporadic things of releases for Mayhem Mike's. We haven't really perfected, because I'm in a huge transition point in my life with my mom passing away a couple months ago. So I'm under all this other pressure and crap and whatever else, and just not real emotionally life, there. Yeah, I figure I've been podcasting for six and a half, seven years. I think, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 months in 1 year for real life crap that normally doesn't happen to me. And I'm usually a podcast machine any other time. But anyway, that's one reason why there have been only three total. This is the third total Mayhem Mikes episode. The other reason is the pay-per-views so far this year. I think, honestly, other than probably SummerSlam, which is next after this episode that we'll do, I think after SummerSlam, I don't even remember. I'd have to look it up. I'm not looking it up. Probably how we're going to do it is we're going to do it like we do this episode. The lesser known, the lesser, the non-WrestleMania type of pay-per-view. We're just going to double up on them, which is what we're going to do here. We're going to talk about Money in the Bank, and we're going to talk about Battleground. Battleground just happened. As of this recording, we'll be releasing this Friday, July 24th, 2015. So Battleground just happened, but yeah, there's just no way, folks. I mean, until Mike and I get to a point where we want to talk about other crap instead of just the pay-per-views and just the overall, and when eventually we want to get in more in-depth to whatever it is, you know, at this point, it's going to be every couple of months that we do this kind of thing, with one exception being SummerSlam next
month. I
kind of
like that, actually, just the fact that it's so much easier because certain pay-per-views are either they're really good or they're shit. I mean, SummerSlam should be, you know, I can't even say that, but we'll have Night of Champions, Hell in a Cell, Survivor Series, and TLC. Survivor Series is generally kind of a big deal, depending. Mm-hmm. And Royal Rumble's kind of a big deal, depending, once again.
I would say the four big deals out of the 12 that WWE does every year, obviously WrestleMania. It's the main event of the entire company. SummerSlam, depending on who's on the card.
Money in the Bank, depending on what storyline's going in. Last couple years, it's been kind of a big deal.
So, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. Those are my four picks for main event pay-per-views at this point. The rest, it like you just said, it solely depends on the storyline, which kind of actually sucks when you think about it.
Yeah.
So I just want to give a little bit more of a history here for our little podcast. We have gotten, if I can pull this up properly. Oh, I pulled that up twice. That's not good. In the time that we've been doing Mayhem Mikes, which has only been a little while, our first episode got 3 comments, which was our WrestleMania 31 episode. Our second episode, which was the Lame Rules of Payback's Elimination, got 8 comments.
So what do we call this one? Money in the Battleground?
I like it.
Or Money in the Battleground Bank. But yeah.
No, wait. I got it. Banking on Battleground's money.
That's not bad. I like that.
The other thing I want to bring up before we start into our rants and ravings about this is I want to call to attention one of our listeners, Crunchman61 on Twitter. He had tweeted me back and forth about
he's good shit. I fucking love that kid.
Yeah, he's awesome. I had said something which was totally unrelated to what he associated it with. I said something about what was it? I said something about unifying and bringing it back to... I don't even remember at this point. Here it is. I had said, it's time we unified everything. No context. Only one person will understand this. And then he said, the first context I thought of was WWE with unified titles. So, Crunchman61, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to TV's Mr. Neil for our main introduction that he did, and for also listening as well. All right, so Money in the Bank, 2015. So we've had... what were the first ones? We had... what was January? Shit, I don't even remember.
Royal Rumble.
Okay, so January we had Royal Rumble. February we had Fastlane. March and April and May, Lame Rules of Payback, I believe.
Yeah, there was WrestleMania Payback.
Right, WrestleMania Payback, and then
Extreme Rules. Elimination Chamber because reasons.
Yeah. I'd have to say that compared to a lot of the ones we've had so far, obviously, we can't count WrestleMania. WrestleMania is all, for the most part, is always awesome. Because they put a lot more work and money into WrestleMania than they do.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's their big paycheck for the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody. Absolutely. The other ones have had good moments. I don't want to sit here and say Money in the Bank is the worst so far. But it was kind of
moments in it. Like, you're right. Like, honestly, the matches can be quite good, but the booking is shit. Like, the writing that goes into some of these is very fucking confusing.
Well, we might have to do an episode at some point, and I want to eventually write down all the episode ideas we have. We might have to do an episode at some point and maybe even get someone in here who knows how to cut a WWE promo. Specifically, not just a wrestling promo, not a good wrestling promo, just specifically a promo that the WWE will allow its wrestlers and superstars and whatever, you know, to say on air. And some of the wrestlers today can't cut promos for shit.
Almost all of them are shit on mic, which is really fucking terrible. Or if they do cut a promo, it's written by a fucking idiot. Like, do you remember how bad Roman Reigns was, like, at the end of last year? Suffering succotash, son. Jesus Christ, this is a 1940s cartoon. What the fuck?
Yeah, I want to address TV's Mr. Neil again. Neil said that when last time we did one of these, I had compared Reigns to what Batista was starting out, and it's on the website post, people, on GCR episode 84. Neil said something. I had said something. Well, you know, Batista learned how to be good, and he's like, I don't know if I'd go that far, but it's just one of those things where some of these people and how WWE bills some of them. Oh well, this guy's been around for, and I'm not specifically meaning Kevin Owens, but that's the one guy with the time link that I can think of. Oh my God, this guy's been around for 15 years, but you've never actually seen him in a WWE ring, and now all of a sudden here he is. And it's like they put such an emphasis on how long someone's been around. Don't get me wrong. John Cena, there's not a lot of promos that I dislike from John, because...
No, he's one of the few people who can cut because he can act and he can talk. He can adapt in the moment.
Like, yeah, I think, absolutely.
Like, the best people cutting promos right now is Kevin Owens, mm-hmm. John Cena.
Yep.
I think Dolph Ziggler can do a really good one when you just let him go.
Where the hell is Dolph been? Like, honestly, I mean,
he's lost. Like, he's lost in the abyss that is the upper mid card.
I just like no, but see, when Rusev was injured, Rusev, when he had his little foot injury, oh my God, when he was injured, it was Dolph and Lana, and they were everywhere. They were doing all this stuff and everything else. And now that Rusev is healed, it's like there's this. At first, it was a triangle between Rusev, Lana, and Dolph. Now, it's a triangle between Rusev, Lana, and Summer Rae. I almost said Michelle McCool. Oh, my God. Summer Rae. And I'm like, wait, where the hell is Dolph in all this? I don't know. The whole landscape of the WWE is laughable at best.
It is. Honestly, the WWE has so disinterested me. Since WrestleMania, I think I've sat through maybe 3 Raws since, and maybe 1 SmackDown, because it is so fucking boring, or it makes no sense. Like right now, for example, I made it no secret, I like the Divas division, and it's finally gotten somewhat respectable.
But, yeah, we'll talk about that
we'll talk about that bullshit in a minute. Oh my God. Thank God for NXT. But it's just, I don't know, it's just, you don't care. Or the wrong people are getting pushes, or if you get a push, suddenly Vince McMahon decides, you know what, the sky's purple today, So I'm going to completely fuck over Kevin Owens, for example, because as far as I know, going in the SummerSlam, he's got nothing going on now. And he was, like, part of the crowd that broke up Lesnar and Undertaker on Monday. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck off.
We'll talk about that after Battleground, yeah, actually. But
honestly, Money in the Bank, my big problem with it was you don't start your pay-per-view with your something that should be the co-main event. Like, this started with the Money in the Bank ladder match, which, okay, cool, you're giving us what we want right away. Why in the fuck did Sheamus win? That rock-steady-looking motherfucker.
That's exactly why, because Sheamus is, you know, if you watch, and I know you do, you watch Total Divas, you know, Nikki and Brie have said, and all the other divas have said as well on that show, if you're not visible, if you're not on TV on either Raw or SmackDown, you're forgotten. No one will remember you until you make a comeback. And I think the thing is, when Sheamus, which, first of all, don't get me wrong, we talked about this a couple times already. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with him as Rocksteady in TMNT 2, but I don't understand the casting of Sheamus. Like, Rocksteady is not Irish. He's just not. I mean, yeah, sure.
Well, I kind of like the idea of him being, like, an Irish hooligan. I think that's actually kind of funny.
Wow. But it's one of those things where I don't get why they gave Sheamus the thing anyway, because... I mean, other than the fact that he's going to be gone for filming for TMNT 2, and no one's going to know where the hell he is. So, hey, let's give him Money in the Bank. And
well, it's because he was supposed to get this instead of Daniel Bryan from last year. So it's like they're digging back through the garbage can thinking, oh, shit, we didn't do this last year. Let's just do it now. And it makes no sense because Sheamus does not need this push for whatever fucking reason.
I think I said this the last episode. We talked about the U.S. and the Intercontinental titles, and I personally feel the U.S. title needs to be on someone that is actually from the United States. Obviously, John Cena is it right now. And it needs to be on someone who is from some other country. I don't care what country. It could be Kofi Kingston. It could be Wade Barrett. It could be Sheamus. It could be anybody that isn't born in the U.S. And having it on, who the hell is it on now? Ryback, the Intercontinental belt. Oh, yeah. Ryback. But like, instead of giving, yeah, we'll talk about that later too. Instead of giving Sheamus the contract, they should have allowed him to work with the Intercontinental Championship at least for a little while until he has to go away. See, the whole Money in the Bank contract ladder match, since we've already gotten into this. Who else was in that match?
Okay, so that match
had, I don't even remember.
That match had Roman Reigns, Sheamus, Randy Orton, Dolph Ziggler, Neville, and Kane. The person who could have used that would have been either Reigns, which that's debatable.
Yep.
Dolph Ziggler would have been fantastic to put that up because he goes over so well.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, even Neville could have used it because he's really good.
See, I would have, like, if they were going to play the authority card, which they do all the time, but if they were going to play the authority card, and now that Randy is no longer a part of the authority, I would have liked to have seen Randy get it so he could go up against Seth and beat the living crap out of that crybaby.
Yeah, but at the same time, we've seen that match 1,000 times.
We've seen all of these matches
I've seen a lot of Neville and Dolph Ziggler. I mean, honestly, although Dolph Ziggler is the lovable loser, I love him. Like, to see him perform is fucking great, but he never gets his due.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't want to sit here and say this, but I'm going to anyway. He's the 21st century short haircut version of what long hair Chris Jericho used to be. The reason why I compare him to Chris Jericho is because, as you said, he's the lovable loser. Granted, Chris Jericho is not a loser, but it's one of those things where Dolph is that type of character that's going to come in, kick your ass. He's got the high kicks. He's got all these interesting moves. I wouldn't mind seeing a feud between Dolph and Neville.
That'd be a really cool feud to see, actually.
I haven't really... gotten used to Neville yet. Like, I'm waiting. I know this will never happen since he's been injured so many times. I'm waiting for Rey Mysterio to come back, people. I know it'll never fucking happen, but Jesus Christ. Like, they want to bring in new high flyers. Bring in someone like Rey, or bring in some, you know, and I know we have the what is it, the Dragons? Third or fourth? Yeah, but the third or fourth incarnation of Sin Cara. It's not the original scene. But this, I don't know. It's just one of those things. So we had the Money in the Bank ladder match. I know we've seen the match 1,000 times before with Randy, but anybody else but Sheamus. Even if Dean would, like, that would be the coolest thing. If it was Dean in this instead of, honestly, Kofi. I mean, Kofi's a part of a New Day.
Which, you know what? They're actually making the tag team division fun to watch again. Sure, they are stupid as all shit, but you can't deny that they're not entertaining.
I hate their entrance.
Their entrance is just so stupid. I think that's part of the charm of it, though.
I know, yeah. But, like, you know, they tried to do this whole thing where either Dean or Roman was going to go after Seth. Because, oh my God, he was our S.H.I.E.L.D. brother. We have to get vengeance on him.
Ever should have broken up the S.H.I.E.L.D.
I kind of agree with you. I wasn't too keen on them at first when they first came on the scene because
I just steamrolled everybody.
No, I'm going. You'll like this. Okay, so you got the a year ago when we had the Shield, we had Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. So. And I know Dean is not this character, but it's the only way I can compare him to the three person faction I'm going to compare him to. Seth was most of the time always on mic, so Seth is essentially General Zod. Dean Ambrose is the woman, whoever the fuck her name was from Superman 2, Marlo, whatever the hell, I don't remember what the hell her name was. And Roman was the big fat guy that didn't talk. I don't know, whatever. So the Shield essentially was the three villains from Superman 2. Okay, yeah, Dean Ambrose is not a girl, and but he is super emotional like she was at one point or another in that movie. But it's just one of those things where now that they've broken that up, I like the idea. I don't think they should go. I know I mentioned this last time. Now that I've thought about it a little bit more, I don't think that Dean and Roman as a tag team, I think it would work, but I don't think they should belong in the tag team division. I like it when they team up against Seth more or less and kind of kick his ass. So you had the Money in the Bank ladder match. It was okay. For me, what it boils down to is I just don't think Sheamus is Money in the Bank contract material. Yeah, he's won the championship a couple of times, I think. The actual WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I don't know how many times. So there's that. Do you have any other thoughts on the ladder match?
What the fuck is with this Bray Wyatt bullshit?
Oh, we'll get to that much later.
Well, it's so dumb. The whole feud between him and Roman Reigns makes no sense. I hate you because... I don't know.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. We'll get to that much later. Up next, we had the Divas Championship match with Nikki.
This match.
Wait. We had Nikki versus Paige. And Nikki defeated Paige. Okay, fuck this match. Why are you saying fuck this match?
Win magic. Oh my God. This is not the friggin' 80s. They look so different. So different. First off, one has basketballs attached to her chest. The other one is about 30 pounds lighter. And Nikki looks like a stripper. Brie looks just like, you know, she's in shape, whatever. But, like, she starts pulling shit out of her bra. Like, fuck off. And that pissed me off so much. And the only reason... one of the reasons I hate this is we have to endure, as of this recording, another 2 months of this. Because they want to erase AJ pretty much from the history books.
Yeah.
Nikki's going to hold on to the championship until after Night of Champions, for sure. And then Paige is going to get it, and I'm okay with that. but it's just, it's so lame. Anybody but the fucking Bellas. Like, Nikki
can't... So I take it you don't like the Bellas.
Well, no, that's the thing. I like them as people because I really like them on Total Divas, so even though I think Nikki's kind of a bitch.
But she is.
The thing is, though, it's like they can't wrestle. I think Brie tries harder than Nikki. But,
oh, yeah.
But Nikki's more physical because you see more of this rack attack shit. She actually tries to do moves, whereas Brie's a lot of punches and kicks, but she's more agile. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's shit watching them. And Paige has become so watered down as to not even be recognizable. Like, she was awesome when she first came out. And,
yeah.
And she when you saw
the championship from AJ, yeah.
Yeah, and then when you saw her, like, NXT stuff, she could do what she wants. She could legitimately fight. But you put anybody up against the Bellas, and when they, quote-unquote, lose to the Bellas... You are rolling your eyes so far back in your head, you're seeing the back of your own skull.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And it's terrible because there's legitimate competitors there. Naomi is really good if you friggin' let her fight. Tamina is scary looking as shit, but she could probably beat the crap out of you. Natalya is legitimately talented.
Look at Natalya. You know, let's talk about Natalya for just a moment here. This is a woman who comes from... WWF, WWE, wrestling royalty family.
Our family dungeon!
I mean, come on! Like, and the craziest thing is, when I watch Total Divas, I know Total Divas is at least 6 months to a year behind whatever's currently going on. You know what I mean? And it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, give her, let her do something other than being a fucking valet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what the hell? Like, who did she piss off? Did she, like, punch Stephanie in the face?
I don't know.
Like, seriously, she must have made somebody mad.
She must have. I don't know.
Like, it's terrible how the women get treated.
Yeah, although, it really is.
I'd like to know what happened. You know what pisses me off? And this is more of a Total Divas rant than it is anything. Okay. I like Eva Marie. I love the way she looks, but Jesus Christ, lady, you have no business inside a wrestling ring. And the Divas attacked her. I don't know whether this was staged or not, but they're like, you've been here for two WrestleManias, and only now you're getting serious? What the fuck, lady? And it's just that she can't fight.
Nope.
And she, you know what? She'd be great as the person who came out and... did, what's her face's name? Oh, Lillian Garcia. But she even screwed that up when they let her do it. And she does all these interviews and photo shoots. And, you know, she's all on Instagram, Red Nation.
As much as I like seeing Eva Marie and I like seeing her development on Total Divas, in the actual wrestling ring on Raw, on SmackDown,
sucks.
Wherever she shows up, you're right. I'm not going to disagree with that, but it's like she I really hate to say this cuz I know she's not as bad as the person I'm going to compare her to, but
Rosa?
Everybody's ever how what?
Rosa?
No, oh, no, hell no. Nobody could be as bad as Rosa. Thank God she's gone. No. This is even worse. But I know Eva Marie is not this bad, but she's getting to be this bad. The whole thing with Total Divas currently is, oh my God, Eva Marie's getting this big push. She's getting all this private training. Oh my God, why is she so special? She's only here to make a name for herself. She doesn't care about the actual sport of it all. And the first thing I thought was like, oh my God, she's the Kim Kardashian of WWE.
You know what? In kind of a way, and what I mean, but like, not to take away from her, you know, this is what she wants to do. She's getting a push because she's pretty. Yeah. And that's not, you know, I guess that's just the way things work in the corporate world. I mean, I don't want to make this into, like, a feminist or a sexist
issue.
The thing is, though, that's why she's getting the push. And admittedly, it's not like it's her fault. At the end of the day, it's Vince McMahon and a board of directors saying, you know what, she'll sell shirts. She'll make the company look good. And they're not wrong. But the problem is, I think fans are smarter now saying, okay, that's great, she's pretty, but you suck. I mean, Nikki Bella, yeah, she's pretty, but at least she knows how to throw a punch.
Yeah.
At least her rack attack requires some degree of athleticism.
Yeah.
Like, with fucking Eva Marie, like, what the shit, man?
I think the thing was, back, you know, 2 years ago when they started doing, you know, they started doing these diva searches and they started doing Total Divas and blah, 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 blah on E! And whatever else. When they started doing the Diva Search reality show shit, they found two people in Eva Marie and JoJo. And JoJo's been relegated to backroom interviews and
at least they're keeping her around.
Right, they're keeping her around, and she's performing well in the media aspect of WWE. So Eva Marie and JoJo came up the same time in Total Divas. They pushed Eva Marie the media side of her. They took 2 years. They didn't even, other than All Red Everything and Red Nation, what kind of character does she have? She has zero character.
Here's the thing.
There needs to be more than, oh my God, I'm the bitch. Because let's face it, that's Nikki.
With divas, you're either crazy, you're a bitch, or you're a crazy bitch. You have three archetypes. There is no gold standard to be different. Like, even AJ Lee, what was she? Crazy bitch. What was Alicia Fox? Crazy bitch.
Oh, God.
Like, it's terrible. They write these women terrible.
You said she's either crazy or she's a bitch or she's a crazy bitch. And first thing I think of is, okay, somebody cue the Buck Cherry song, Crazy Bitch, please.
Well, I swear to God, that's what they have on Endless Loop in the writer's room. We're Full Heart Bitch by Jet. It's like, fuck off, man.
Oh, God.
Like, there is so much talent in that locker room, but they don't use it on Raw or SmackDown. NXT, let them go. They do fantastic work. Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Charlotte. Oh, hell yeah. There's another one there. I can't remember her name. Her thing is where she just randomly kisses her bicep and looks like an asshole, but she sucks. But, okay, you know, it's terrible. But either way,
the Divas match happened and Nikki retained, and as you said, they're doing
for more months of this.
Yeah.
And we have the Intercontinental.
What Intercontinental? There's nothing there.
You know what? This match wasn't bad. Between Ryback and Big Show, it wasn't bad. And the main reason was because of the finish for me.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan gave Ryback the Intercontinental.
Yeah.
You totally. Ryback, I think, broke character. Like, that was a legit, my God, thank you, man. Like, you really saw the man behind the feed me more bullshit.
Yeah.
And that was like, thank you, Daniel. And I don't know, I really, you know what, the more I've seen of Ryback in the last 6-7 months, the more I like it. I like him way more than when he was with Ryback's.
Yeah,
who the fuck remembers that?
Like, before and after, before Ryback's and after Ryback's, Ryback was actually somewhat all right. He was supposed to be the new quote unquote monster character, and not monster in the bullshit, right? No, well, he's supposed to be some sort of the physical monster character, not
like
the
Goldberg
creepy
sort
monster.
Of thing, right?
Yeah. So, all right. So we get the tag team championship match again. The tag team division. Oh my!
It gets. God. See, the thing is, this wasn't terrible, but the finish was weak. Like, I like the prime time. I like the fact they're even giving him a chance. I love Titus O'Neil. I really do. I think he's funny as hell. And Darren Young, when you let him go, he's not bad.
And what's
I think what's with the New Day, now that they've realized we're way better as heels, they're really funny and they work. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I genuinely enjoy watching them. I hope the primetime players hold on to the championships for at least until after SummerSlam. I think that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but yeah, honestly, I'm really glad that, you know, they're getting a chance to do something.
Yeah. We had, is this the third or the second, or I don't even remember.
This would be the second match between Cena and Owens. This one wasn't bad.
No, this one was dead.
It was good.
Actually, both of them were actually good. I mean, both matches, these guys, as Jerry the King Lawler would say it, basically, you know, gave it their all, or, you know,
they put their bodies on the line.
Oh my God. I mean, the first match that we had with the two of them, I thought it was a little hokey that they were pulling out each other's, like, specifically on Kevin Owens' part. And I understand it's part of his character, part of the storyline, that he was making fun of John Cena, you know, copying John Cena's move. I get that. I understand that. This second match was like, holy crap, these guys are beating the ever-living shit out of each other, and it's awesome. I haven't seen someone go up against John Cena in, how long has he been with the company? 10, 11 years? I mean, well, no, it's 2002.
It's like the early 2000s.
Yeah, 2002, I think, is when he started, so 10, like 13, 14 years at this point, whatever.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anybody go toe-to-toe with John, unless you're, like, going to pull in a ringer. And I'm not saying this person is a ringer, people. Don't get your panties in a wad. Unless you're going to pull in a ringer like The Rock or
Randy Orton.
Shawn Michaels. Not even – well, John's – first feuds with Randy as he came up in the company, I liked, and I still kind of like them now when they do them now. But, I mean, people like The Rock. People like, you know, when Triple H was actually still wrestling. Like, that kind of thing. But Cena and Owens, I mean, you look at everyone Cena's faced in the last at least 2 years. Owens has really been the only one in the last 2 years that is really mentally, physically, psychologically, whatever the hell you want to say about it, has really taken Cena to the mat.
I would say, and Brock Lesnar put out a couple good fights with him.
But again,
but Kevin Owens, in terms of physical stature.
Yes, but Kevin Owens is, he is an everyday guy like John. John is there all the time.
They're
workers. Unless they're workers, right. Brock Lesnar, in my personal opinion, even though I will defend him later on in the podcast, Brock Lesnar is a once-in-a-while guy.
He's there for the paycheck.
Yeah.
He's spectacle.
He's spectacle, and he is a ringer. He is. Honestly, I really think the only reason why they even let him in is because they need Heyman as a promoter.
They need someone who looks like Godzilla. And frankly, that's Lesnar.
Speaking of which, what the hell ever happened to crap, what was his name? Shit. Indian dude.
The Great Khali.
Yes.
He was released, and I think he started his own wrestling school. Because there was something about it on like WrestleZone like about a week ago. So he's doing okay. He's just not with the company anymore.
Right. So we had Cena and Owens, and I love these guys fighting each other.
Oh, yeah. Like, they are so good to watch.
Yeah. I love when they fight because it, as I've already said, they take everything out of each other. And I love it when, I even love it when they don't fight. I love it when they're fighting on the mics and Kevin's like, yeah, I'm going to come down there and I'm going to whoop your ass and I'm going to be, oh no, I'm, you know, I can, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins. Let's take these two just for a second here. Kevin Owens is a person who backs his shit up because he is that positive. I don't want to say he's a heel for John.
Where his mouth is. He'll prove
right,
it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Seth Rollins is a paper champion.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. But Kevin Owens does those things that Seth will do, where it's like, yeah, but he does it in a sarcastic way. It's like, yeah, no, I'm just going to, you know, go ahead and wait for Money in the Bank or whatever. That way, you know, it's a bigger spectacle. So we had the Cena, Kevin Owens match. And then we had the WWE World Heavyweight Title Ladder Match between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Okay. This match, I can't believe they... like, I almost wish this had started off the show.
Yeah, because you know what? This match, it felt like nothing. Actually, if you want a fun game, a friend of mine pointed this out in a video he did. Count how many times Dean Ambrose does that fucking between the ropes rebound thing.
Right.
Count it. and you could, you, if you did a shot for each time, you'd be trashed by halfway through this match. It's terrible. This, like, honestly, I love watching Seth and Dean work, mm-hmm. but just the finish of this match was bullshit.
Yeah, the finish of the match was bullshit. And did they ban Seth from using the curb stomp?
Not outright, but they didn't want kids emulating it. Because I know Seth Rollins said something about this recently on some podcast interview he did. Like, okay. Yeah, they want me to do something else.
Like, but see, that's the thing. Like, that was his thing.
Yeah.
Like, what else? Like, he has no submission move. He has no F5 or
yeah, STF. He has a curb stomp, and I can't think of anything else.
Like, yeah, no, he
no,
has...
Wait, no, wait, he has J&J Security. Fuck those guys. yeah, that's his move. What do you have? The curb stomp. Oh, can't use that. Want to do a pedigree? That's not big enough to make that look scary. It looks so stupid with him doing it, I think.
So that's Money in the Bank, folks. On a scale of 1 to 5 stars. On a scale of 0 to 5 stars, what would you rate Money in the Bank?
2.
2. I'm going to give it a 3 only because of the Cena Owens match.
That's the only reason I'm giving it that at all.
We're going to take a quick break here, folks. We're going to come back and enter the battleground.
Since the beginning, men have battled, drawn to the front lines by their decree, impassioned by the spirit of their allies, driven by the thrill of victory. Now, the time is upon us. To fight again. Justice.
I will tempt you. I will lie to you.
I will haunt you. And ultimately, I will destroy you.
Roman Reigns has been a cauldron just boiling, and now he finally gets prey.
For pride.
This, a symbol of excellence. And I am damn proud to be the champion of the United States. Now that I'm here, and I see just how much that United States title means to you. I want it. I want to make it a symbol of my excellence.
For vengeance.
I conquered the conqueror. I beat down the one in 21-1. I slayed the beast, Brock Lesnar.
You're going to learn the hard way that Brock Lesnar is the god of retribution!
Tonight, rise up and cement your legacy.
Your time is officially up tonight!
Stand now to defend your convictions.
You'll never succeed. I won't let you.
Step forward and exact your revenge.
Brock Lesnar will take the championship back!
In this modern-day Colosseum, these are our gladiators. And this is their battleground.
And now, WWE Network presents Battleground.
All right, folks, it is time for WWE Battleground. Now, this pay-per-view
sucked.
No. Okay.
Oh,
all right.
My God.
Wait.
I will fight you in the street.
Just wait a second. Hold on. I will admit, as we go through the matches, I will probably agree with you that some of the matches did suck. I don't care what you say. I don't care what anyone else on the fucking internet or the fucking wide world says. Anytime I hear that gong, I get excited. And we're not even going to talk about that just yet. We're not going to get into it. But, oh my God, that was a jaw-dropping moment for me. Because that's a guy that I don't mind is a once-in-a-while guy.
Well, I'm glad he's decided to get revenge a year and a half later.
Okay, so with that, folks, you probably already know who we're talking about, but let's start from the beginning. We've got the
pre-show with the King of the Ring. Fuck me.
Dude, King Bob on the Minions movie is more intense than King Barrett.
Oh, don't get me wrong. King Barrett. KBL can cram that phrase up his ass. Oh my god, I like Barrett, but I'd like to know. What did you do, Barrett?
Can you, like, I like Barrett. I've liked Barrett since he was the original leader of NXT, not NXT, shit. The Nexus. The Nexus. I like Barrett, but I like Barrett as Bad News Barrett.
Yeah, this King Barrett, sucks.
I mean, like, King of the Ring, hell, bring William Regal back for a few months or something.
Here's the thing. Nobody knows what King of the Ring is anymore. It's like a forgotten concept from, like, what, the 90s? Nobody now cares about it. It sounds cool, and that's about it. And the two people, quote-unquote, feuding over it, is Wade Barrett, who gets his ass kicked on a consistent basis, and a guy who wears a fucking bathrobe as a royal thing and a Burger King crown and a plunger. Does this sound exciting to you? Well, folks, strap in. This was so bad.
Yeah, I don't watch the kickoff matches. I don't watch the kickoff show on the pay-per-views. I want to see the actual pay-per-view events. The kickoff show, unless they're, which I thank God they've never not done, they've never done this yet, and I hope they never do. Unless they put some high-profile match on the kickoff show, I probably will never watch a pay-per-view kickoff show.
Well, they did tag team titles a few times.
But are you forgetting the fact that I can't stand anybody in the tag division right now?
Even the Usos, which I really hope. Who the hell's hurt right now? Jay or John?
I don't.
I hope they come back soon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like the Usos, but the overall feeling. You want to talk about a revolution that needs to happen? A tag team revolution needs to happen on the WWE, because I'm sorry, anyone other than the Usos, they all suck, in my opinion.
No, the Lucha Dragons are fun to watch. I like them. And the Vaudevillains.
Yeah. So we start this one with Randy Orton defeating Sheamus.
In the same match you've seen 14 times before.
Yeah. You want to talk about, you know, earlier in the podcast, we were talking about John Cena versus Randy Orton, and you said, oh, it's nothing we haven't seen before. This is nothing we haven't seen before. And again, this is just to give Sheamus some TV time or whatever until he eventually has to leave to go film for TMNT 2. Then we had the WWE Tag Team Championship match. It was the Primetime Players, who are the champions, defeated the New Day.
I was okay. Actually, you know what? I honestly think this was one of the highlights of this pay-per-view. The tag match was fantastic.
Yeah.
I really like this one. There were some really cool spots in this one.
There's always cool moves in the tag match. Again, I just can't, like, if the Usos were in it to win it, sure, I'd be all for the tag match. Because the Usos are essentially, they're essentially the next Rey Mysterio in two different people. I mean, because they are those high flyers, and they do all those high moves, but I don't know, the rest of them, I just don't know. So we had that one, and then we get to Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. I've said it before, I'll say it again, Bray Wyatt, get the fuck out.
I like Bray Wyatt. The thing is with Roman Reigns in this match, he has like three moves. He has the running hug, the Superman punch. That's what it is. It's a running hug.
Wait a second. For a minute there, I thought you renamed the Superman punch to the running hug.
No, he's got the running hug, a.k.a. the spear, which Goldberg's the only one who should be able to do that one. And that thing called the drive-by where you're on the ring apron and he boots you in the face. That's okay. See?
Wait. Did they... Okay, let me ask you this. Okay, now I know you say Goldberg is the only one that should use the spear. I've seen Edge use it, and I've seen Batista use it. Now, I like it when Batista uses it because Batista is a badass, and I've always liked the guy as a wrestler and as a person. So, basically what you're telling me here is they took Randy Orton and Batista and put two of their moves into Roman Reigns with the spear and the boot thing, because Randy used to do the Legend Killer with his boot. And it's essentially the same goddamn thing, except Roman's doing it outside on the ring apron.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it. I mean, this match, the thing I didn't like, it was the pacing.
Yeah.
It felt very, very, very slow. Like, very, very, very plodding.
It is Bray Wyatt. I mean, every single, and I know it's his character, and he does have a great character. I just can't stand the character, because it's so boring to me.
Well, it's because he's given nothing interesting to do now. Like, his feud right now with Roman was, anybody but you, Roman, I'm going to turn your kid evil, and then forget about this plot thread before the pay-per-view. It's so lame. Like, they don't know what to do with them. And when they broke up the Wyatt family, thank God they're reforming it now.
Yeah.
There was nothing to do. And, like, fucking, what was Luke Harper's thing? Crazy Eyes! Woo! Like, this
okay,
match, it sucked.
Let me ask you something. Okay, who has the better crazy eyes, Luke Harper or Steve Buscemi from Mr. Deeds?
Oh, Steve Buscemi, by far. I'd be worried about Luke Harper beating the shit out of me. I ain't afraid of Steve Buscemi. But yeah, I mean, this match, like, it's dumb. It's because they want to have a bad guy in WWE.
Yeah.
They don't know how to do it. I mean, you've got a great heel in Kevin Owens, and his feud with Cena makes sense.
Yep.
Having Bray Wyatt fight Roman Reigns makes no sense. Having him go against the Ryback made no sense. Dean Ambrose kind of made sense.
Because they're both crazy.
Yeah, because they're both crazy, the lunatic fringe, whatever. But they don't know what to do with them, I think. And it sucks because Bray Wyatt does great promos. I'm pretty sure they're like, hey, Bray, yeah, here, just talk and sound scary. Okay. And they trust him to do it. Now, yeah. Admittedly, they go on a little bit too friggin' long. But still, he's great on
both. My buddy, super famous YouTube reviewer, Optibotomus, it was during the... He has the whole world in my hands thing that Bray was doing, a while ago. He turned on Raw because he likes wrestling like everybody else. Well, most everybody else, at least that I know. He likes wrestling. He wanted to get back into it. He turned it on. He's like, he said he watched it for like 10 minutes. He's like, what is this? This is not wrestling. And it was the whole Bray Wyatt children thing. And what it's like, oh my God. Yeah, who else on the roster can other than Roman going after Seth, which is obvious,
has been played out. Yeah,
well, it has been played out, who else can Roman go up against? I mean, they have yet to put him up against Cena. Not that I would want to see Roman. I like Roman and Cena separately going against other people. I don't want to ever see
them. They're not going to turn Roman heel for a very long time, if ever, because he looks like a fucking superhero.
Yeah,
he's got them piercing blue eyes and that hair.
Yeah, I mean, what are they gonna do? Rename the Superman punch to the Bizarro punch if they turn him evil?
Yeah, I mean, if you went evil for like a month or two, that might be okay, but it's never gonna happen because you know what?
You know.
He sells T-shirts and kids love him. And that's, you know what? That's part of my problem with WWE right now. It seems ruled more by marketing than by actual storytelling. And this is no
true.
More apparent than the Kevin Owens Cena match, which we'll get to.
yeah, we'll get into that.
This match, it was boring. Actually, I remember I was watching this with my wife, Blair. And she's like, Michael, are you falling asleep? I'm like, yeah. it was just boring. I mean, like I said, there were a couple of cool spots, but it's very boring.
Yeah. Like I said, I think... You know, Roman... Okay, so what's... I know we talked about this, but what is Dean doing at this point? Who's he going up against?
don't know. He just kind of hangs out whenever they need someone.
Yeah, I mean, like the Superman and you know Superman Puncher and in the Lunatic Fringe. I could see them, team. I don't know, whatever. So we got the Divas Triple Threat match, and this was
another highlight of the night.
Yeah, it was. We got the Divas Revolution going on. We're actually going to talk about the Divas Revolution later when we talk about this past week's Monday Night Raw on July 20th, 2015. But so we had this match, and it was Charlotte, who is the daughter of Ric Flair, versus Brie Bella and Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks, I believe, is the NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah.
I don't watch NXT, yeah. So... The Divas division has needed something. It has needed fresh blood for, I would say, the better part of 6 months to the last year, because you don't have AJ Lee anymore. Tamina is okay when she's in the ring.
But she's nothing but a goon, because if she talks on mic, she says like 10 words.
That's what I was going to say. I see her nothing more than... Yeah, she has less, and I can't believe I'm saying this, she has less of a character than Eva Marie.
That's depressing and sad.
I know, right?
And they've got rid of Emma, although she's in NXT, but you never see her.
Yeah.
I know
this will never happen, because now that they have this whole Divas Revolution thing going on, I really wish Ronda Rousey would come back.
Oh my god.
Can you imagine? Okay, look. Can you imagine?
Everybody something? Dies the second she enters that ring.
Well, right, but I'm saying, like, can you imagine? Okay, you got the Bellas are currently the queens of the division. They are the people that have been there the longest. They're essentially the Trish Stratus and Stephanie, not Stephanie. I'm sorry, Stacy Keibler.
Yeah,
Stacy Keibler. Yeah. You know, that's essentially what the Bellas are at this point. Can you imagine? Like. Think of what Paige did with AJ when she came out the next night on Raw and won the Divas Champ. That's the kind of... If Ronda Rousey ever came back into WWE, or not back into, but...
Well, they're talking about getting her for next year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But can you imagine?
I don't care how many ungodly dump trucks full of money you have to drag up to her house. Do it. Because, Monica, that would make the Divas so cool to watch. And Ronda Rousey is legitimately the most dangerous woman on the planet.
How often do they do male-female tag teams? I know it's not very often.
I can remember Emma and Santino doing it against Summer Rae and Fandango.
She's
another Santino. One who at least tries.
Right. No. The reason why I ask about this is because... and I think at one point or another, maybe... Naomi and John. I think John's her.
Yeah.
The Usos, they're fucking twins, people. I can't tell them apart. So I know at one point they were... The reason why I ask, because if The Rock ever came back for like a six-month run, they should bring him back with Ronda as a tag team, Rock and Rousey.
I would so support that. Well, and the thing is, Ronda could take on pretty much the entire male roster.
Yeah, she could.
Her and Brock Lesnar would be a legit fight.
Oh, God.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
Man, I'd love to see them just legitimately just beat the hell out of each other. Take my money.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had the Divas Triple Threat match with Charlotte, Brie, and Sasha, and Charlotte won.
Whenever it was the NXT girls fighting, it was fantastic. The match quality dropped by 50% whenever Brie Bella happened to be in the ring. She was the worst part of that match. When the NXT chicks went at it, yeah, that's how you do it. That's a main event right there. When Brie comes out, I want to play too. Oh my god, take your ball and fuck off.
The problem I see between the NXT level and the WWE level, NXT is something that they put on the WWE network that you basically, it's not on television, in the, base sense of the term television. It's not on live TV. It's on the WWE Network, something you have to pay for. So they can be as open and you know, fisticuffs and whatever else, and be as not necessarily R-rated, but more PG-13. Whereas once you get to Raw and SmackDown, and to a lesser extent main event, you know, you have to follow the PG rules of WWE. And I think that's a lot of the problem with the storylines, because every so often you'll have Dean or Roman or even John sometimes say a swear word. It's not like they're not dropping F-bombs on us, but like damn or hell or whatever else. And you just think, first thing that goes into my mind whenever the hell John says a swear word, I'm like, oh my God, John Cena just cursed. Holy crap, WWE legal. Oh God. Because they're marketing this as a PG thing for everybody. And I get it. That's the way it's in this day and age, with everything that WWE does as a business, as a company, with Make-A-Wish and all this and all the others, you know, the Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles thing that John had a few. I get it. It's a family thing. I understand that. You're not going to have people cursing on live television like you used to. I get it. But it's just one of those things where I don't know. And we have the so my point in all this is NXT is something that that they can let you loose and let you do whatever the hell you want as far as moves, as far as finishers, as far as whatever. When you get up to the WWE level, it's like, oh, hey, here's a bucket of water for you. Have a nice ice bucket challenge, people. Like, seriously, because they water down so many. I guarantee you in a year, sure, all these new divas coming from NXT, they will be so watered down.
Yeah, you know what? And that's the thing. When you come up from NXT to Raw, you either make it awesome, like, I guess, a Roman Reigns, or I'm trying to think who else has come up from NXT, or a Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
You're really hot for a while. But, yeah, 6-7 months down the road, we'll see. That's the thing. We're playing the waiting game of when do you start to suck.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because with Paige, we saw this happen. She was shit hot for so long, and then nothing.
They've toned her down so much. I mean, even her screams now, that this is my, like, even that.
I don't believe it anymore.
No. So we finally have an actual championship belt match between John Cena and Kevin Owens. Now, we talked about this, I think it was last time, or it might have even been the WrestleMania episode, where it was a champion versus champion match. And originally I thought it was, oh, hey, one of them is going to win the other one's belt. Oh, wait, no, it's just champion versus champion. There's no actual stakes on the line here. But this is John Cena, Kevin Owens for the United States Championship. Once again, it doesn't matter if it's a pay-per-view, doesn't matter if it's Raw. These guys give it their all, and they beat the living shit out of each other.
The one problem I had with this match is they kept kicking out of each other's finishers a little too often. It almost seemed like a friend of mine described it as it was like watching a video game but with cheat codes. Not to say that it wasn't good.
Right.
But there were more than a few moments I'm thinking, oh, come on. But no, yeah, this was a pretty good match too. But that ending, I remember turning off the pay-per-view for like 10, 15 minutes. Oh, that was so bad. Kevin Owens doesn't tap. Not to that shitty move either.
Okay, I know. Kevin Owens doesn't tap, but it's one of those things where what other outcome could there have been for John to retain? Because that's his gimmick right now. Unless you're going to forego all this Brock, this might change actually once we get to the main event, but hear me out here. Unless you're going to forget all this Brock versus Seth crap and put John back in the hunt for the WWE Championship, is 2K16 out yet? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, I know. But I'm just when 2K15 came out, they marked it as, oh, 15 years. Oh, well, John Cena, whatever. Anyway, so unless they do away with this whole Seth Brock bullshit and put John back in the hunt, I don't think they're going to do that, because his whole thing at this point is the U.S. championship is a mark of excellence, of our excellence as a country, as a, you know, for WWE.
Well, this is what I was talking about. The reason he's going to hold on to this is because of marketing. Because of that fucking t-shirt of his.
I know. But look at the roster, though, dude. What else? Who else is he going to go up against that he hasn't already? I mean, unless you're going to... And you can't put John Cena, a guy who's a 10, almost 14, you know, 10, 11, 12, 14-year-old veteran of the company. You can't put him against pansy asses like, or new people like Neville. Or you can't put him up against... Well,
see, but eventually that torch is going to have to be passed.
I'm not saying that there will never not be a day where John Cena has like, there's going to be a time, and I don't want people to come at me with pitchforks. TV's Mr. Neal, I'm looking at you. There's going to come a time where John Cena is going to reach just below the level of Undertaker status, where he is at a point in his life. Life and career where he will do that once a year match or once every few months match. There's going to come a point in his life when that's going to happen, yes. But right now, as a, let's just say, 15-year veteran of WWE, who is in his wheelhouse that is going to give him a challenge right now? Other than Kevin Owens, there's nobody on the roster that can challenge John as well as Kevin has.
I'm thinking, you could argue Randy Orton, but we've seen it 1,000 times before.
That's been going on for 10 years.
Yeah, you know. There's nobody new that can pull it off.
Yeah, there's nobody new. There's nobody that we've never seen. Okay, sure, Kevin Owens, yeah. I've never, until he started coming on the scene this year, I never knew about the guy. That's somebody. Kevin Owens is that new guy that what? Oh, I thought you. Anyway, so we had that match, and I know you're pissed about the tap out, but
it seems so weak because you never win against John Cena. You just rent them. It sucks though, but you know, because this one would have been cool going into SummerSlam. I mean, even if this match ended in a DQ. Which would have sucked anyway, but it made Owens look weak.
Yeah.
And like, wow, that's awesome. You gave him a push. Now he's just, I'm Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
$9.99. Like, fuck off.
$9.99. While we have that going, because I want to insert a special little sound effect here, we're going to take another quick break and come back and talk about the final match of Battleground after this.
And now going for the F5, and looking to put Seth Rollins away. World Heavyweight Champion. This is it. To win the championship. Cover.
That's right, folks. He's back. And at first, I thought I saw him in the American Badass jeans. I know it wasn't, but at first, I thought that's what it was. But this is why I love The Undertaker, people. Is because when you don't have to have him walking out, when you don't have to have his giant choir and all the fire and the lightning up at the top of the ramp, when you don't have to have that and you just have one or two gongs and the lights go out and everybody freaks the fuck, like, The Undertaker is easily the best and most ultimate monster character ever in the history of WWE.
Yeah, I'll give you that, but he looks so old now, which is
okay. Yeah, he looks, I mean, yeah, he does look old. He's not as young as he used to be. I just think that adds to his creepiness. And The Undertaker is the only character in the monster part of the wrestling business in WWE that I actively cheer for.
I like The Undertaker because I grew up with him.
Yeah, I mean, and so we have Brock versus Seth for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. This was a damn good match. It really, really was.
I just kind of liked watching Seth get thrown around like a rag doll for a few minutes.
He got a baker's dozen suplexes. He got 13 suplexes. You want to talk about taking somebody to Suplex City, bitch? Oh my god. That's one thing I'll say about Brock Lesnar. Since they started this whole promotional gimmick thing about Suplex City, that's the coolest thing about him that I like. Brock Lesnar in general, for me, he's the biggest gimmick in size and in whatever else that the WWE has. Because this is a guy that can make his own turn, and rightfully so. I mean, he's earned everything that he has. I'm not saying he hasn't.
He's the toughest mofo in that locker room.
Right. But see, that's my problem with it. Like, you go back and you look at the Cena-Lesnar matches. You had a guy in Cena who is an everydayer, a worker, who is doing everything. And then you have someone who, you know, in Lesnar, who is this supposed to be this ultimate monster, one level. I will say he's about a level and a half to two levels below The Undertaker and as far as, like, monster status and creepy. But Lesnar has gotten to the point where he is that guy that shows up every now and then. And they tried to do promotion with him. Sucked. There was, what was it, the Hardy Burger, Hardee's or something. There was some ads recently that I saw with him, with someone in, it was the Hardee's Monster Burger or something. I don't even fucking remember, but I just remember it was him in an advertisement. And I'm like, Brock Lesnar does not do Hardee's commercials. Brock Lesnar doesn't do shit. I mean,
I'm trying to think of something that would, what would Brock Lesnar sell me? I could see him selling me a pickup truck. Not Hardee's. Maybe Jack in the Box. I don't know.
I'm Brock Lesnar. Welcome to Happy Honda Days.
My God. Yeah, I'm like, this truck is built tough like me, like a brick shithouse. Now buy it all. Take it to Suplex City. Like, yeah, okay, see, that I'm fine with. Like, yeah, I can't see that.
So we had Brock versus Lesnar. We had Lesnar versus Rollins. And I know people like Rollins. I get why certain people, Davies, Mr. Neal, like Rollins, because he is the ultimate heel right now in the division. He is the ultimate cowardly heel. And I understand. I just don't give a shit. And I can't stand the guy.
I think his gimmick's played out.
It very much is, especially since there really is no authority. He's essentially alone. Yeah, sure, Kane's there, but what the fuck is Kane gonna... Well,
Kane, quote-unquote, broke his ankle, a.k.a. Kane wants to take off to the Bahamas for 6 weeks. Yeah. And J&J Security, man, I'm glad that gimmick's slowly coming to an end.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, it's just... There's nothing, like... Taking the Seth character almost as far as it can go.
Yeah. Like, this is why I want them to do the feud with the Shield. This is why I want a triple threat between Seth, Roman, and Dean for the championship or something. Something dealing with the original Shield members or just something with them. Like, I've never done this, folks. In as many times as I've watched WWE since 2007, which was WrestleMania 23, I believe, I've actively watched WWE, and we said this in the very first podcast that we did, since 2007. I've watched it off and on, but I've never stopped paying attention to it in the last 8 years. And it's one of those things where ever since Brock's been around, I always root against him. I just do not care for Brock Lesnar because he is not a worker person as far as, you know, what John Cena. Anyway, but in this match, this is the only time in the entire 8 years I've actively rooted for Lesnar to fucking win, because I don't care at this point if he is a once-a-year, twice-a-year guy. I don't want the goddamn championship on Rollins anymore.
Yeah, it really needs to change hands to somebody else.
Give it to Dean. Give it to Roman. Give it to... give it to Hornswoggle. Give it to El Torito. I mean, seriously, anybody but Seth Rollins. Okay, so we had the match. The match ended up in disqualification because of what I played you a little while ago, folks. Because of the gong. The Undertaker has risen for...
Or Seth Rollins evolved into the Undertaker. One or the other.
That's an insult to the Undertaker.
Although, you know what sucked about this? And I know I've been negative this entire time, and rightfully so. This pay-per-view ended 15 minutes early.
Did it really?
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck, man? So every match you saw had to be extended.
Wow.
Because with Ryback being hurt with the staph infection, there was no Intercontinental match, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So there was 15 minutes they had to fill. I'm glad the Divas got a long time to fight. But yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, this pay-per-view... out of five, 2.5.
Really?
Because the Divas was fantastic, the tag team was pretty good, and outside of the finish for Owens versus Cena, it was okay. I liked a lot of this. I just didn't like a lot of the booking going into this. Because, like, the card itself wasn't terrible.
No.
It's just how everything turned out.
Right. Now, normally when someone gets injured or someone gets sick, or because technically, well, a staph infection is more of a illness than an injury. But usually when that happens, they find someone. Like, I didn't want Ryback to be stripped. I don't want
if he's not
anyone.
Better by next pay-per-view, they're going to have to.
I know they're going to have to. Or, like, I would rather him do what Daniel Bryan did. Give it up. You know what? I understand they might have to strip him, but I don't want to ever see any, unless you're Seth Rollins, I don't ever want to see anybody stripped of a championship unless it's absolutely massively necessary. I would rather see them give it up and allow someone else, like, give it up on their own terms or whatever. Like, that whole, anyway, but so the timing with this pay-per-view, like, normally when someone's injured or something, they come up with some other, like, they, this is, God, I'm sitting here quoting Bruce Willis from Armageddon. You're the goddamn United States government. You have contingencies upon, you're the goddamn WWE. You have contingencies upon contingencies. You know, you got a room with people just thinking all this shit up. Like, they couldn't come up with some, like, instead of having the Intercontinental match, they couldn't have thought up some other match at all?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised, like, they just didn't, like, do something.
Like, they couldn't have done, like, a 20-man battle royal at Battleground or something? Or, like, you know, you talk about the timing because of what happened with the Intercontinental. Like, if they did, like, some sort of special match, or I don't know. I don't know. I like the outcome because of what happened the next night on Raw this past week. Oh my God. Again, because he doesn't normally show up, and I know he's getting up there in age, as I've already said in this podcast, anytime that gong goes off, it's like, oh man, shit's happening now. Let's go.
SummerSlam should be really good this year, hopefully. Actually, there was even backstage talk that Sting was going to show up.
Oh God,
as well. So
we already had that.
I'm still glad that The Undertaker showed up, although, once again, I have a problem with timing. Brock Lesnar, I'm mad at you for snapping my streak. I just waited a year and a half because my walker was broken, so that's how long it took to get here. St. Louis is far, man. But yeah, I'm glad they did it. I can also see this from a marketing angle because I'm pretty sure the WWE Network is free this month.
Yeah.
They want you to pay for next month.
Yep.
So I guess we'll see how this all turns out. I mean, hopefully they'll figure something and get Kevin Owens back into the card for next month. Yeah. They'll do something interesting with this Undertaker angle. Mm. I hope the primetime players retain tag. I hope they continue to put on a really good show.
Yeah.
Divas match, so we'll be bullshit, more than likely.
Well, I'm not too sure, because Monday they started the
Revolution.
Divas Revolution, so
I'm that belt so ain't sure. Coming off Nikki Bella for another 2 months, at least.
I know, but I'm
Fights
saying...
Fights may be good until then, who knows?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think what's going to happen with this new Divas Revolution is that the fights aren't just going to be Nikki going up and kicking somebody in the face or rack attacking them 1-2-3 pinned in less than 5. Like, the Divas matches are actually going to be finally good again. Like, the Divas matches have not been really that great since AJ started her run. Before AJ, I would honestly say the Divas matches weren't any damn good. Before that, oh god, probably Trish Stratus. I mean, like, seriously, like, the Divas division and the tag division are... like,
they're struggling.
They're very much struggling. And I think with this new Divas Revolution, it's going to bring it back. It's going... like, I like that Stephanie's behind all this. I like that she's finally actually doing something other than just being, you know, the puppeteer for her husband. God, Stephanie McMahon for president. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Can you... we can't talk about WWE without bringing this up really quick. Can you imagine if it was Vince McMahon and Donald Trump for the U.S. presidency?
You know who I would vote? I want Paul Heyman to be fucking president. That promo he did on Monday night was awesome. Mm-hmm. You could sell your soul to the devil, but your ass belongs to Brock Lesnar.
Yep, that was awesome. The whole thing with the Monday Night Raw, and this will be the last thing before we get out of here, folks. The whole thing with Monday Night Raw was, you know, Triple H is like, you know, don't let them come near each other at all. Everybody has to stop them or else you all lose your jobs, blah, 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 blah. Triple H, who the hell in your locker room is going to be able to stop both Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker unless they all did what they did? Do what they did and assemble a wrestling mob to, you know, block every... I'm really surprised Triple H didn't just bring in... I don't want to say fake police officers, because I'm not too sure...
Well, they
sure
were totally...
No. But what I'm saying is, like, whenever the gimmick in the storyline is, like, the whole thing with Brie and Stephanie a year ago or whenever the hell that was, when Stephanie got arrested, like... I'm wondering if those are actors those actual police. Like, that's what I'd like to know is how, like, does the WWE really have that much pull to work with a local police department for just a fucking storyline?
Oh, God, no. They have a costume department and they hire local wrestlers from the local kind of promos.
Okay. That's fine. I didn't think that would be the case.
But yes, I would certainly hope state and federal law enforcement officers are not being wasted
in WWE. Yeah, exactly my point. So they have this whole mob thing where, you know, one side's got to keep Brock away from Taker and Taker away from Brock. Like, that was the best part of Raw this week. Like, we need more of that crap on Raw and SmackDown. Not necessarily Lesnar and Taker, but we need more of that type of, you know, stuff going on. Or, you know, do what they did at one of those pay-per-views where Dean Ambrose took the ambulance and went out in the streets of Chicago or I don't know, whatever. The other thing that happened on Raw, really quickly, that we... Poor Michael Cole. Check that guy. You know, I know everyone hates on Michael Cole, and I do too.
But... Yeah, I like Cole, but can we please take Brian Saxon out behind the building and just shoot him?
Yes, we can. poor Michael Cole. He's like, oh my God, who is that? Who is that? Like, Michael Cole, did you not see? I mean, do you not have monitors in your little announce table there? Even I saw the giant black beard under the hoodie. I knew that was Luke fucking Harper 5 seconds before they actually showed who he was. Like, I knew that. My only question is it just going to be Luke Harper?
Because Eric Rowan's hurt right now, so.
Yeah, like, it boils down to what I've been saying this entire podcast, folks. Who else on the current roster can do certain things?
I think it'd be awesome if they brought over... if they brought over Bo Dallas to the Wyatt family. Turn Mr. Positivity into a fucking goon. And they're brothers anyway, so why not?
He doesn't have the physicality. He's a wussy in his... muscles.
Like I said before, bring over Finn Balor. Turn him into, like, an attack dog for them.
Yeah, okay, I can see that, but I... we've already talked about this in the other two podcasts that we did for Mayhem Mikes. There are just certain people in WWE that I just don't think need any exposure, and Bo Dallas is one of them. Thank God they got rid of Adam Rose or wherever the hell...
He's still there, he's just not doing much. I like Adam Rose, but the gimmick kind of wore out its welcome.
I like the feud with him and the bunny. That was kind of funny, but...
I missed the bunny. The bunny was awesome.
Oh, God. That's what they need to do when they need to fill time. Have a mascot match.
You know what? I think the bunny should join the Wyatt family.
Oh, God.
On that note, I think we should end this.
Yes, on that note, we're going to get out of here. We will be back next month with Mayhem Mike's Episode 4. Where we will be talking about SummerSlam.
# Wyatt Bunny.
I know, you're going to go start that now, aren't you?
Fucking awesome. What the Bunny of the Wyatt family?
Whatever you do, folks, just don't tap out.
He has slapped Seth Rollins' face off. This is a matter of time before... There's a dozen. Lesnar takes the WWE World Title.
Seth might tap off a suplex.
Oh, still showing a rebellious side.
Did he just slap Brock Lesnar?
Oh, does he have a death wish or something?
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations. The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.